Good morning. Welcome. It is the 16th day of May, Friday morning. And Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is back in the studio with us where he belongs. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscaper's Corner has Triple Crown Elite Grass Seed, the seed everybody's talking about. Available in 5, 25, and 50-pound bags. Call 225-9433. Morning, Ray.
Bonjour.
Welcome back from France.
Yeah.
And Dan Laren did a good job in your absence.
Dan always does.
He sure does. We can just get him to speak up. Speak up, Dan.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine.
You said, for those who were not listening earlier, later in the hour, you and your beautiful bride spent 2 weeks in France where you went to high school.
I did.
And then the French language come back to you a little bit?
Not a heck of a lot.
Yeah. They say if you don't use it, you lose it.
No, is that French, too?
That's French. That's an old French proverb, yeah?
Yeah.
I've also heard all my life that the French people are very rude to Americans. Don't treat us well. You said that's not so.
It didn't happen to me.
Good.
Matter of fact, there were three instances of folks that were unpleasant to me out of several hundred over 2 weeks. And we really enjoyed ourselves.
That's great. Well, mostly on this program, as you folks who are regular listeners know, we talk about pretty serious crimes that involve some pretty serious investigation. This morning, we're going to do the Darwins, which is your own version of the awards that usually involves people that got killed doing something stupid. But your Darwin awards are a little different.
Well, it has to do with criminal justice stuff and people that commit crimes that are really stuck on stupid. I can remember one of the... See, they do these National Darwin Awards. Mm-hmm. And the one I thought was the best was this woman who was an Oklahoma Sooners fan. Mm-hmm. And she bought a multiple $100,000 RV. And she went up and put it on cruise control. Then went back to make a sandwich. Yeah. Couldn't understand.
Didn't understand that.
Well, I'll tell you the most interesting part of that to me is she sued the RV company and won.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Dan Laren and Katie Webster are here.
Good morning, Katie.
Morning.
Because they seem to just draw the Darwin crowd.
Okay.
And so, Dan, tell me how you and Katie went about deciding who we're going to talk about today.
Well, it really just amounted to a brief conversation where we sat in the office and talked about some of our cases with our new computer tracking system. We can track cases by statute or by defendant. It's an easy way to access a lot of information. Most of these individuals, I'll say guys because in this case they're all males, I remember them because I either dealt directly with the case or I was in court when they were sentenced or when there was a hearing of some sort. And some of these cases, you just wonder what is going through people's minds. And it didn't take
us
very long.
What were they thinking, huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
It didn't take us long to come up with three or four people that we think are criminal Darwins.
Yeah. Well, Katie, what did you do to add to this group?
Oh, well, I prosecuted a gentleman back in 2012. The case has always really stuck with me because I thought there were so many interesting tidbits about it.
Well, why don't you tell us? Let's tip it off with you.
Well, this defendant's name was Kevin Durham. This is back in January 2012. The cops or the police officers get a call about a gentleman who's being disorderly in the street. He's banging on people's doors and yelling about a woman, and they get there and it's snowing. There's snow all over the ground, and he's driving a gold Mustang, which doesn't drive particularly well in the snow, and it's just sitting in the middle of the street. And he's sitting in it, and he's trying to use his phone. He doesn't have any shoes on. He's still being pretty disorderly. They go to look in the car for his shoes, and they find approximately 20 bottles of liquor and some display cases full of watches and earrings. So the police look around the neighborhood to see if there's been any burglaries recently, and lo and behold, there was one up the street at a liquor store.
Very soon before that.
So they recover the surveillance video, and you can see this Kevin Durham, and he goes up to the liquor store, and it's clear as could be that it's him. and he throws something through the window the first time, and then he disappears. And then he comes back about an hour later, and he takes a hammer, and he starts breaking away at the glass, and he goes in and makes several trips to get liquor out of the store. He appears to be inebriated, and then he decides that that's not enough.
Is that the same as drunk?
Yeah, that's the same. Okay. It's fancy. And then he decides that that's not enough, so he's going to get some earrings and some watches and take those out to the car. And then he drives away
from the liquor store.
From the liquor store.
That's a different kind of liquor store. Liquor store and jewelry exchange. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take the whole. He's greedy. He's not just going to take a handful of earrings.
Right.
He's going to take the whole case.
He wants a whole case of ladies' earrings to take with him.
Good.
So the officers are able to apprehend him and figure out his involvement in the burglary pretty easily.
Well, so what happened in the case?
Well, he was prosecuted, and he wound up pleading to burglary third.
What does that mean?
Third degree
that
is
a burglary of a business.
Okay.
Or, you know, some kind of building that's not a dwelling. He pleads to that, and he gets probated.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He gets probated.
So he got probated. What kind of record did he have?
He had a pretty serious record, pretty serious property crime record. He actually had a prior for burglary just a couple of years before.
Who was the judge?
Judge Goodwin.
Yeah.
He didn't make it long on probation, though. He was revoked a few months later, so he's serving time right now.
What did he do,
He picked up new criminal charges.
Do you remember what?
Wanton endangerments, some of those.
Now tell us what that means. I mean, our audience out there has enrolled in law school 101.
Because that's what this is.
That's
here,
what this is.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So what's wanton endangerment mean?
Wanton endangerment is when you manifest extreme indifference to the lives of another person and put them in serious danger.
Good. So give us an example of that.
Well, an example of that would be, say you're pointing a loaded gun at someone.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wanton endangerment. Or you hold a knife to someone's throat. That's wanton endangerment.
You know that there's a really good possibility that this person can get hurt.
Right. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Wanton endangerment, Jack, is if I pointed a gun at you and shot and missed, that's wanton endangerment.
Okay.
If I pointed a gun at you and shot you in the shoulder, that's assault.
Okay.
If I pointed a loaded gun at you and hit you right in the middle of the forehead and killed you, then you got a homicide.
I got you.
So that's how that works. It's a progression, and these guys all seem to do that. Speaking of snow, several years ago, I prosecuted a character by the name of Daryl Korn.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Korn came to be known as the purse burglar. Here. I mean, he was a scary guy because he would go into many, many, many homes. Now, here, the guy had figured out that when women go in the house, and I'll bet you, Katie, you're no different than this. If you go in the back door, first thing you do is you put your purse down.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody does that. Every woman does that.
Right,
yes.
By the back door.
Right.
And this yard bird. And people frequently don't lock their doors. If you go home, you probably don't lock your door.
Well, I will now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And so what he would do would be go from back door to back door to back door to back door, and he'd grab the purse, and from that house to the next house, he would have rifled through it looking for money. He didn't care about credit cards.
But he didn't knock a door down or pick a lock.
No,
he just
if it wasn't open, he just went to the next one. Well, Einstein decided he was going to do it in the snow. So you got him.
Oops.
You got all of these tracks in the snow going door to door to door, and the police just followed the tracks, and there was good old Daryl.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, Daryl got, I prosecuted that one, and Daryl got 40 years. And this was in the days when 40 years meant something. 40 years, thanks to our wimpy sentencing laws, doesn't mean
it means squat anymore. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Probably be probated. But any rate, that's...
I got a story to tell.
All right.
When Ralph Hacker managed the station back over 30 years ago.
Men were men.
That's right. We were down in the Phoenix Hotel downtown. He was the color man for the UK network. Haywood Ledford did the play-by-play. Ralph did the color. and they travel with the team. And he loved to go to Louisiana when we played LSU because the Johnston & Murphy Shoe Company was there. And Ralph, who had a pretty good reputation for being a little tight with the buck, would go and he'd buy Johnston & Murphy shoes that were factory rejects because they were cheap. And we always had great shoes that would cost $200-$300. He bought for 20, you know, 15. And he and I went to lunch one day, and we were walking back to the station, and it had snowed. And as we turned around, as we were going into the Phoenix Hotel, I looked down, and here's Ralph's tracks with a big stamp on the bottom of his shoe that said reject. He says, I'll never wear those in the snow again.
There you go.
We're taking a break. We'll be right back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. 927 News Talk 590 WVLK. And normally we talk about pretty serious crimes on this program, and whenever we can, we get the victims of those crimes to get in the studio or on the phone with us to talk to us about how that has affected their life. This morning we're talking about, really frankly, just stupid criminals that should know better or should have thought it out or read the whole book, you know, before they committed the crime. This is Don. Good morning, Don.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, if a person run a red light and kills a person or kills two people, what kind of charge is that?
If a person, what did you say again?
Ran a red light and killed two people. What kind of charge is that?
Runs a red light and as a result of running the red light strikes another car, I guess. What is?
Well, it just depends on the specific facts of the case. The police don't charge a lot of those red light runners with homicides if the guy was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. If he was going 80 miles an hour and ran it and hit him, then what he's done is exhibited behavior that's inconsistent with law-abiding.
Yeah.
Now, running red lights against the law too, but the police don't do that every time somebody's hurt or killed when
right.
they run a red light.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don. All right. So we've got 2 minutes before the break. What can we do here in 2 minutes?
I want to talk about Chapman shoes because we were talking about shoes and all of that kind of business. This used to be down on, Mill Street.
Jim Chapman is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Goodfellas Pizza.
Yep.
And you go in there, and there was this rack of a lot of shoes. And he called them dead man shoes. And
I think you called them that. I don't think he called them that, but that's okay.
Well, he should have, because it's a good marketing tool. But the idea was it was people who didn't pick up their shoes, and he just, after a while, he just put them up there for sale.
No, that's not true. I got to stand in Jim's defense. What happens is if you go to a shoe store and you buy a new pair of shoes and you bring them back to the store, for whatever reason, you got them home and you didn't like them or they didn't feel right, you return them for a refund. Well, that shoe store cannot resell those shoes
right.
as new, so they all go back to the factory. And Jim would buy box loads of shoes, and he never knew what he was going to get. But they were all brand new, but he could charge very. But so that, you know, that's the real story. But
I like my story better.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And we got Tony's shoe
repair on Short Street.
On
right.
Short Street. And he probably is one of the nicest men I've ever met.
He is indeed.
And he lent some shoes to us for a young, pretty indigent victim. And so we borrowed the shoes, took them back. So that was a nice thing. It's amazing what happens.
That's a two-minute story, and we're going to take that one, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll-free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. 934, 26 before 10, as Lexington's morning news continues here on News Talk 590 WVLK. And we're talking about criminals that sometimes aren't the smartest ones in the world. This is Jim. Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to take issue with the where the somebody, the bad guy, you know, hitch the person in different parts of the body for different charges. I think that's silly because anytime somebody shoots a gun, there's attempted murder possibility. It could be just the guy's a bad shot. And I think that any bullet that hits you anywhere should be attempted murder. And the other thing is that when somebody breaks into your home, if they're running away from you and you have a gun, you can't shoot at them, right? Could you shoot them in the back?
No.
You can't.
Because they're no longer
wrong right there.
Yeah, but if they're trying to break into your house, the Castle Doctrine allows you, if you're in fear of serious physical injury or death, to use deadly physical force, which includes shooting them.
Okay. All right, Jim.
I want to let me say this to you, Jim. I can remember when a guy shot Officer Lingenfelter and
I remember that
and Tim Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Russell is now had to retire, but is a technician with the Lexington Police's version of the CSI, and he was shot responding to a domestic violence thing, shot in the neck, and the police charged this guy and the guy that shot Lingenfelter in the face with assault first degree. Now. Under our wimpy sentencing laws in Kentucky, attempted murder is not a violent crime. That's what these two guys were charged
with. How does that compare to other states? Do you know?
You know, Jack, I don't know. I don't know. So I went around now. Attempted murder sounds a lot worse than assault first degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go around to all the roll calls and explain why we were going to change the charge to assault first degree. And boy, there were some police officers
irate.
And I said, well, just hang on a minute, because if he's convicted of, the penalty's the same, but if he's convicted of assault first degree, he has to serve 85%. If he's convicted of attempted murder is 20%. So they understood that.
Yeah. Chauncey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Ray, I just moved back to Lexington after being gone for a little over 2 years, and my dad and I were discussing something night before last. My brother, somebody's tried to break in over at his house and a few houses around him over around Belafonte the other night. And somehow we got into discussing the law. He tells me that now if they catch criminals breaking into cars or possibly trying to get in a garage or in the back of a house here in Lexington now, that they're giving them tickets. Is that true?
Thank you. You teed it up just for me.
Yeah, you did.
This is that dummy legislation that was passed. It's called House Bill 463. And if they break in your car and the police catch them, they are required to give them a ticket. Think about it. I wonder if they also say, when I've gotten speeding tickets for me, that they hand me the ticket and say, have a nice day. I don't know whether they say that, but it's outrageous.
Who in the hell is the idiot or idiots that have come up with this?
Well, there's a whole gang of them over in our legislature, and where do you live? You live in Lexington?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do you know who your legislator is? That's a no.
I used to.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, first thing you need to do, and the first thing everybody here in Law School 101 with Jack Patty, is to learn who your legislator is and your state senator. Call them up and tell them what you think. Most people just think that our legislature goes over there and just does everything to benefit us. Well, this is what's happened. You give somebody a ticket for breaking the window on a car and taking whatever inside. It's just pretty disgusting to me.
Chauncey, thanks for your call. All right, let's have another case
here. Okay, Dan, you're up.
All right, well, when I was trying to think of criminals who committed offenses that didn't require a lot of investigation, the first guy came to my mind is a young man named Glenn Butler. Mr. Butler's 23 years of age. He's sitting out at the detention center as we speak. And coincidentally, he has 23 convictions at his young age, mainly for property crimes, theft, trespass. He has a prior felony for burglary. There's some assaults and public intoxications as well. How we met Mr. Butler is about 3 in the morning last July. He and a couple of his buddies were out at another liquor store, as it happens, on 3rd Street. And they decided they were going to go in and help themselves to some of the inventory. And what brought the police to their attention is that the person that was posted as a lookout, every time a car would drive by, would whistle and then run inside the building to warn his friends. Now, I don't know if that was Mr. Butler or the other two guys, but someone that lived in the neighborhood thought that was a little suspicious and called the police. And our patrol guys went out, and they found a point of entry. This was a store that it was part of another building. It was a building. This building has since been destroyed, but there was the store was inside another building. So they broke through the other building and then went into the liquor store. The point of entry was basically just a hole in the wall, and then they had opened the door from the inside. That's how they were going to exit. That's how the lookout was moving back and forth. So the patrol guys looked in. They heard these people walking around. They saw a backpack full of alcohol next to the door. They called for the canine unit, which is pretty standard, rather than putting themselves at risk to go in, because they don't know who's in there and right. If they're armed, anything like that. They send in the dogs, and most of our experienced property criminals will surrender when they hear the dog bark, because they don't want to fight with sure. the dogs, and that makes sense to me too. So they ran the dogs through, and then they went in and they found Mr. Butler hiding in the rafters of the building. When they asked him what he was doing there, he told them that while they were walking down 3rd Street that this building was just open and they wanted to come in and make sure everything was okay. And they were maybe going to take the alcohol, but you know, they did not break into the building. So
good Samaritans.
Right. So the investigation in this case really consisted of the patrol officers waiting for this gentleman to exit the scene of the crime, which he did.
you know, Jack, the dogs, the canine unit, they are so good at cleaning, going through a warehouse.
Right.
Because if they send the dog in, then all of a sudden you hear this when somebody right. starts hollering, okay.
Yeah.
That's the most effective thing I've ever seen happen. Yeah.
So they just had, all they had to do was wait.
Yep. And he came out and they arrested him. He went to the detention center. This case, I will give Mr. Butler credit. The first time I met him, he said, I want to plead guilty and get this over with, which is kind of a refreshing maneuver.
Yeah.
In court these days.
Instead of trying to come up with some sort of story.
Right,
or,
yeah, right. Yeah. He didn't seek a mental evaluation or blame anybody yeah. else or forget to speak English. He stepped up. So that impressed me, but he still pled guilty to burglary and persistent felony offender. He was sentenced to serve 5 years. It turns out that he served out his last burglary here at the detention center. It's a Class D felony. So when these guys go into corrections, they typically stay in county jails. And I suspect that's what will happen with him here. They haven't calculated his parole eligibility yet, but it'll be soon. 20% of 5 years is a year, and he's got 7 months in because he's been in the whole time. So he'll be back out on the street soon. One hopes that he might finish school or get a job, but if I was a betting man, I'd say he'll be back inside a liquor store here pretty soon.
Mm-mm-mm.